What the hell? This hasn't been used in months. What on earth? Oh, it's filthy. Right. Canine?
Master?
I need a Hoover.
Affirmative.
Ah, thank you. Right, let's get going. Right, well, that's place a little better. Cleaner and tidier anyway. Yuck. Ooh, what's this button? Teleport. Ooh, teleport. What does that do?
Dale!
Where are we? How'd we get here?
Hi, Dale.
That's a little better. You remember this place? This is called the studio. This is where you're recording it.
Well, I guess we really should be recording some Happiness Patrol then, huh?
I think we're missing somebody.
Wait a minute. Dale, Leela?
Oh, wait. Where's Tara?
Uh-oh.
Oh, hang on. Canine, the coordinates have slipped.
Affirmative.
Oh, you know why? Somebody didn't feed Tara's TARDIS enough donuts.
Oh, okay. So I guess we could probably... You found the teleport button, right?
Canine, go and work on the systems. That's a good boy.
Affirmative, Malcolm.
Off you go, then.
Just gibberish sort of stuff?
Affirmative.
Oh, okay, good.
Hi, pretty lady.
God, you're being scientific, huh?
I am.
Because you're just that kind of gal.
Because I'm just that anal.
Oh,
a little part of me died when LOL made it into the OED last week.
Yes, Texas. I know.
Surely, just a little part of me just
Texas. Went out. Texas toast. You know, I've never used that term when I was texting anybody. Never at all. You know, because it's just silly, is what I say.
Affirmative.
Yes. That means you can't ever listen to Celine Dion.
Oh, not that I would. How did that happen? What? I haven't checked it lately.
Here, I'm still tallying up sexy women.
Go blimey, love a duck, Mary Poppins. Look at that dolly.
Look at that dolly. Wasn't that a brand new hamster?
Hamsters come with a warranty.
What? Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
No way.
Go back to Petco with your dead hamster and a receipt and get a new one.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, Jamie from Doctor Who, and you're listening to the Happiness Patrol. Happiness, happiness, it's the greatest thing that I possess.
Well, hey everybody, I'm Lewis B., and welcome back to the Happiness Patrol again. Dale... Thank you so much for cleaning up the place. It looks spectacular. You know, give Dale a Hoover.
It looks unused.
Give Dale a Hoover and a piece of paper. Wait, I'm misquoting.
Give somebody. Dale a Hoover and a piece of paper. And he'll rip up the piece of paper and then Hoover it up. Woohoo! Get you with your exciting rock star lifestyle.
So we're glad to have Dale back today for this special. Man, it's only a few more weeks now before we see the debut of season 6 of Doctor Who, not only in the UK but also on the same day in America. So I'm very happy about that. Leela, are you very happy about that? I think that you might.
I would be if I had BBC America.
Oh
no!
There you have it.
Schedule. I'm going to try to go steal a friend's TV and watch it with them. Well,
I think
so we can all watch it.
That'll be a good
K-9, start hunting down the internet fairy.
Well, we can get K-9 on that, and hopefully we'll be able to help you out there, Leela, because I'm kind of in the same boat. I got basic cable myself, so.
Well, I don't even have that. So.
But you know, speaking of people who have all the cable channels, Nancy A., welcome to the Happiness Patrol once again.
Hey.
So good to have you back. Good to have you back. We are decidedly missing Miss Tar W today. She is feeling a little bit under the weather, but she'll be back. She'll be back because she always is. Because you know what the hay is.
She's being kidnapped by the Gruffalo. For God's sake, just tell the truth.
Okay, she's been kidnapped by the Gruffalo. So.
I'm still tallying.
She's tallying. And if
I'm almost done.
And if you're wondering what Nancy is tallying about, because she's our scientific advisor here on the Happiness Patrol, we basically on our Facebook page a few weeks ago, I said, hey, you know, guys, you know, what was I doing? You know what? I had been, like, sitting on the couch watching some really bad daytime TV because I work from home now. And it's like, you know, I seal envelopes for a living. So I was taking a break from sealing envelopes. And I was watching something, and I turned on some stupid-ass program, and it was like, you know, TV's sexiest women of all time, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I was like, you know, this is such a crappy-ass, you know, concept. And I thought, you know what? That would be perfect for the Happiness Patrol. So...
Oh, God.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Yeah, this hasn't changed a bit.
So you haven't missed much.
So yeah, right. Yeah, there's
no, I've missed one episode. One.
So basically,
in 3 months
we put the call out for hey everybody, who's your sexiest female person in Doctor Who? I think I might
Adric.
Even said yeah. Oops. I might have even.
Oh, nobody picked Adric.
Well, nobody would.
That's
so.
God. He's a girl.
But anyway.
Oh wow. Oh, the female results are interesting. Ooh.
So we put it out. We got a lot of feedback on sexiest female, and I thought, you know what? Why leave the guys out of here? So we did a sexy guy call for the five top sexiest guys and five top sexiest gals in Doctor Who history. So I figured over 45 years of history, we ought to have something to look at. So
you know, he's rigged it if Dodo Chaplet's anywhere in there.
I really should have got on there and like threw the whole vote, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever.
Steven Taylor is the sexiest man.
So, Nancy.
Yes.
I like that delay. So tell us, you've tallied up the votes for the sexiest male. We'll start with guys.
Okay.
So the sexiest. Let's
good
start. Okay, now.
Okay, drum roll. Do you want to do from bottom to top?
Let's start from bottom to top. God.
No, let's start at the bottom.
Hey, Dale. Welcome. So, first of all, it was supposed to be top five, but you were telling me earlier that there was some sort of mix-up after five, or what was going on here?
No, there was just a tie.
Oh, okay. You know, so tell us all about
just
that.
Just a flat-out tie. Okay. For third sexiest guy in Doctor Who.
Wait a minute. Why are we starting at third if there's top five?
Because... there was a huge tie.
Okay.
There was a huge tie.
Okay.
Tied
for third. Okay.
Tied for third.
Go ahead. Ooh. Go ahead, Nancy. I'll shut up now.
Tied for third. He totally missed that. Tied for third. We have John Sim.
It's cool.
God.
I'm saying nothing. John Sim, Roger Delgado, Michael Craze, Paul McGann, Noel Clark, and John Barrowman.
So there's six people tied for third?
Six people tied for third.
Oh, my God.
Roger Delgado.
Roger Delgado. Hey.
Delgado.
Hey, that whole,
I like the beard.
That whole moody dark thing is sexy, right?
Yeah.
So there you have
beards
it.
Are so, sexy.
So, anywho, so tied for third. So how are we going to break that tiebreaker?
I forgot Paul McGann, so... I think actually bump him up because I only did five in my list.
Uh-huh. Yeah, bump him up.
Okay.
I'd bump him up. And yeah, I think, you know, Barrowman appeals to, you know, both teams.
Gays.
Yeah. I love Barrowman.
Both teams. Okay, so tie for third. We got Roger Delgado, Michael Craze.
And all those other people.
Michael Craze. Now, you didn't know who Michael Craze was, is that right?
I don't. I'm ashamed. Who is
who is that? I don't know either.
Remember Ben and Polly from William Hart?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Ben.
Oh.
It's Sailor Boy Ben.
Sailor Boy, there you go.
Yeah.
Sad, you know, nothing sexier than a sad sailor boy in a hip bar in the 60s. So there you go. So, or at least Polly thought so.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's keep going. Keep on moving on.
Okay, so tied for second.
Oh, my God, we got tied for second. Okay, go ahead.
Tied for second,
uh-huh.
David Tennant and... Wait, no, just David Tennant. Second, David Tennant.
Okay, so
that 10 and 10.5, they could be tied.
Okay, David Tennant, tied for second.
So yes, gotcha. Tennant is tied with himself for second.
Oh no! Anyway, moving on.
And coming in at number one,
the moment you've been waiting for,
Frasier Hines. It's that sexy kilt.
Okay, now.
Stop voting.
Okay, so here's what I need to find out. So is it Frasier or is it Jamie?
Yes.
Number one. Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes. Okay.
Jamie McCrimmon.
I've seen the man in person. Okay. I'd say yes.
Okay, well, there you go. So yeah. Congratulations, Mr. Frasier Hine, for becoming the sexiest guy of Doctor Who in all of history, according to the very scientific. According to Sherry on on the Happiness Patrol. So there we go. We need to send him out like a little email or something saying,
"No, let's not.
Congratulations, you've won."
Oh, we could make him a little prize.
No, let's
yeah,
not.
We'll have Tara make him a little prize.
Like a little,
like,
you know.
Don't talk.
Oh, God.
Congratulations, you won the Cockin' Doctor Who Award.
Okay.
Actually, you should send that to Adric.
Okay.
And cover it in a little kilt.
Cover it in a little kilt.
Spray it gold.
Oh, Jesus. This is getting way.
Cock Doctor Who.
This is getting way out of hand. Okay, now wait a minute. Okay. So Nancy,
let's
tell.
Let's not go with what we're going to send the ladies.
Oh, God. And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Happiness Patrol Sexiest Women of All Time. The top five contendees are Miss Nancy. Take it away.
Okay. Once again, we have a tie.
God.
A tie for third.
With 86,000 people.
Yeah. We have Elizabeth Sladen, Billy Piper, ooh, Wendy Padbury, ooh, Lala Ward, mm-hmm, Michelle Ryan, Nicola Bryant, ooh, Annika Wills, Freema Agyeman, Sarah Sutton.
I think Lou's just done something really shouldn't have been his pants.
So that's like nine people? Nine people tied for
third.
That's
just reading it. You can just hear Louis chuckling in the background.
Yeah. Louis, get your hands where we can see them.
Well, being the only heterosexual male around, I guess. Okay, so what about second, Nancy?
Second is a tie between Mary Tam and Louise Jameson.
All right, okay, we're going to settle this right now. Mary Tam or Louise Jameson? Guys?
Mary Tam.
Mary Tam, one vote for Mary Tam, and?
Louise Jameson.
Louise Jameson, okay.
Louise.
What?
Louise.
Louise? Louise Jameson has it. So there you go. Congratulations, Leela, from Leela and Dan.
Yeah, well done. The girl and the gay tell you your sex.
The girl of the same name. So there.
I better know who's number one. I'm
okay,
you.
Okay. Number one, sexiest woman of all time.
Can I have a guess?
Go ahead, Dale.
River Song.
No.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, mm-hmm, my God! Because I know gay men who turn straight for her.
Wow.
Yeah. Happiness Patrol listeners on Facebook, hands down, are leg men because it's Karen Gillan.
Fair enough.
Wow. Well, yeah. Well, she is pretty.
This
sexy.
Is how the world ends. Pond flirting with herself.
Yeah. So that's pretty. That's pretty funny. Well, thank you, Nancy, for all your hard work there. By the time of the end of the show,
thank
you think you'll
for
have
a count into 10, my dear.
My pleasure.
But anyway, you know what? Today, kids, we've got a very special thing going on. First of all, let me give you a little input here. Leela has had her arm in a cast for the past 4 weeks, and she just got it out. So, Leela, you're feeling good?
So much better. Thanks.
But it did not stop her from doing her assignment. Her homework assignment was to watch the Patrick Troughton Classic Who episode, The Mine Robber.
Yes.
Now, tell me, what do you think?
I really, really liked it. I think this is the first time I've really got to see Troughton. And so I think, you know, for mostly Dale, who came up with my list of Doctor Who to, classic Who to watch. I mean, it's a it was a really good choice, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I'd like to point out, I came with this list, 3 months ago, and we're just discussing the first one now.
Dale,
no, we did War Machines first.
I'm sure you've heard.
So we're up to two.
You've heard.
I know, barely better. I know.
It's a Doctor Who podcast, and time is relative. Right?
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Time may be relative, Captain, but my patience is not. Q, Star Trek, get with it. Ha!
So I think this was an excellent, excellent choice for anybody who's familiar with Patrick Troughton as the Doctor to give Leela for a very first time, for a very first episode for her to watch, to be introduced to Patrick Troughton. And I also would recommend this episode to anybody who's just more adept at New Who and Matt Smith and David Tennant and who was that other fellow? Well, that other guy in the leather jacket. So if you're not like accustomed to classic Who, this is a pretty cool place to start, especially for Patrick Troughton in the black and white era, because
it's very surreal.
It's very amazingly surreal, and you know what it does? It really, I summed it up basically. I was thinking about this, and I was like, going, you know, this really, really shows what you can do with a bit of imagination and a shoestring budget.
You know, actually, I was just watching the behind-the-scenes stuff from the disc, and I didn't realize this. They really had no budget for episode one. I mean, zero budget. That's why they did what they did.
Well, yeah, and the whole thing's
in the
dumpest.
Money for, yeah, because they'd already, it was a bridging episode because they needed a filler. And so they had to do something. And they said, we have no money. We can just use, you know, the actors and the set. And, oh, there's these robots things off in a closet, and they painted them white and made the white robots. And it was imaginative. And, you know, it gave us some classic bits, you know, the sparkly cat suit and Wendy Padbury's
bum.
Well, yeah, well, yep. Basically, yeah. Well, you know, basically, you could have put Wendy Padbury in a sparkly cat suit and just set, you know, have her read the phone book, and I would watch it.
I'm curious, just because it's in black and white, so I don't know, but do we know what color that suit was?
Yeah, I saw a color picture. It was sort of a gunmetal gray.
It's silvery, metallic-y stuff. Mm-hmm.
So,
other interesting prop fact.
Yeah,
there's an extra TARDIS in there.
That's really? Right. That's right. Really? We had covered this before on the earlier Happiness Patrol.
Yeah,
I believe, so.
They built two walls of a TARDIS, and you know, painted it to be well off white. So that's why the TARDIS doesn't have any detailing on the corner posts
when he
pops out of it,
when
because
when they're in the void
sides.
In the first episode.
Ah.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And you know, it's interesting because like before the episode before this was the Dominators with the fabulous Quarks.
Quarks.
Thank you, Dale.
Deep Space Nine, do you mind?
Yeah, you're right. So not to be confused with Big Ears. These are like boxy little robots. They were hoping to be the next Daleks, but obviously they didn't turn out that way.
They were air fresheners that went slightly wrong.
So you got a show, The Dominators, it's got a nice budget, and you go to The Mind Robbers, which has zero budget. Basically.
The Dominators have got a nice budget. Have you watched The Dominators?
I have. Well, they went on
the
location.
The travel capsule in episode one is a lemon squeezer. It is. It's actually a lemon squeezer.
But they were able to take cameras out on location, and I think that constitutes a bit of a budget. So
with a lemon squeezer.
With a lemon squeezer. So
whoa!
It is the BBC. So when
get those CGI effects.
Like time, budget is relative when it comes to the BBC. So.
No. Like production values in the 80s, budget is non-existent with the BBC.
So you've got the Mind Robbers. The first episode of the Mind Robbers is basically not much of anything. But you know what? It is one of the most memorable episodes of that five-parter there. I mean, it's really. I mean, the entire Mind Robbers is amazing because it's so creative and they just did so much with so little. But enough about that. Leela, tell me about your experience watching this. You watched it with somebody else or something, or did you watch it by yourself? What happened?
I watched it with Kalis because I told her, I'm like, hey, I got to go and watch this. And she goes, I've never watched Patrick Troughton, and I want to watch too. And so I'm like, all right, you know, and we sat down and watched it, and we both really, really enjoyed it. And Kales was having fun making just like little side comments and stuff, not like negatively, but these really positive comments. She's like in episode one when Zoe and Jamie are kind of just running through this nothingness. Kales is like, "That's a good idea, just for a normal studio that doesn't have, that they haven't done anything with." Yeah. She's like, "That's a really good idea."
It is. It's a very clever idea.
Yeah.
One that they go back to a little bit in what was the one with the time traveling lion, the beast? What was
the one with the time traveling lion?
You know what I'm talking about?
I think that was one of your dreams again, wasn't it, Lewis?
Lala Ward, Lala Ward, Tom Baker,
Warriors K-9. Gate.
They were in East Space, Warriors,
Warriors
thank
Gate.
You, thank you, yeah. Thank you.
So. The time traveling lion.
Well, yeah, weren't they? Hey, you look like the guy from Beauty and the Beast, that oh, one from
Doctor Who meets Willy Fogg.
So, Nancy, you watched the Mind Robber for this particular episode, huh?
Yes, I did. And I'd actually watched it a few months ago. That was part of our watch-a-thon. Actually, no, I guess it was a couple of years ago. And I watched it with my son back then. And I watched it again because I had vague memories. What I thought was kind of funny was, you know, how they got around Fraser Hines having chicken pox.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And bringing in the alternate Jamie.
Yeah.
his cousin, isn't it?
No, it's not his cousin.
Not even related. But it was, yeah, he got chicken pox from his nephews, and
that was it. Yes, got chicken pox. No, I don't. Oh, I don't mean the other Jamie.
He got
chicken pox from family members.
Yes, and so he was told not to come to work, and so they had to scramble. So they got an actor who did actually have a real Scottish accent to play alternate Jamie, and I thought that was It was a little cheesy, but it was very clever. And I could see where a little kid watching this would just be like, "Whoa, that's so cool." You know, whatever kid said in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting, you were saying you were watching it with your son. Your son was what, about 9 years old at the time?
He was probably 8 or 9 when we watched it. And he liked it.
So it was totally believable and fun for him, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, you know, I'm probably, every time I watch this episode, and it's probably it's one of my favorites, because every time I watch it, I'm immediately like 7 or 8 years old again, and I'm watching this, you know, and not that I saw it at that time, it's just that it just puts you in that whole mood, because it is such a fantasy storybook type sort of, you know, classic fantasy storytelling. I love it. I love it. And it doesn't really get in the way of the sci-fi. It doesn't make you forget that you're watching Doctor Who, because it's truly, you know, uniquely Doctor Who, because who else but the Doctor would be in this sort of
predicament?
Yes, exactly. Pinch poke, you owe me a Coke.
I thought that was really interesting. You know, all the concepts, it was very cerebral. And I thought it was interesting too, hearing that the guy who wrote it did not like science fiction. So he was like, "You want me to write for Doctor Who? That's science fiction." They kind of said, "Well, you know, it's imagination. So use your imagination." And I thought it was really clever that, you know, they came up with this whole fiction reality, you know, confusion stuff. And a lot of the little concepts in there, I think, are just classic.
They're kind of complex concepts to for a kid to grasp. I mean, the Doctor the whole time is trying not to refer to himself as the Doctor, as he's trying to write a story to get him out of the situation.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of, I mean, it made you think, wait a minute, you know? So Dale, tell me something, Dale. Did you notice how I didn't say, "Tell me this, Dale"? When was the first time that you actually saw this, Dale?
Oh, this God, episode? Years and years and years. It would have been about 13, something like that.
So what did you think when you first saw it?
I hated it.
No, really?
Really?
I hated it. Literally, the first time I thought it was appalling.
Uh-huh.
Literally, it's so different to normal Who, for a start.
Uh-huh.
For me, it was, I mean, the odd thing is, now, I'll watch it now. I mean, I watched it the other day, and I like it. I really like it. It's got some amazing concepts for a considerable lack of budget. I think the white robots work so well, and I love the fact that they're actually quite menacing. And there's that noise and those soldiers in the background constantly ticking.
Yeah, yeah. They use sound effects quite effectively.
Yeah, they do, actually. There's a lot of soundscaping in there. But yeah, when I was quite young, you know, I wasn't specifically watching for concepts. You know, I was more watching to see what Doctor Who would do to get himself out of. And so it was very different for me, and I didn't like it at the time. But I grew to appreciate it as a fan. I watched it obsessively anyway. It's fine. If you don't like something, you watch it 30 times. If you do like something, you watch it 35. I think Troughton's best stories, which is quite thankfully and usefully, still exist. Mm-hmm. So this is a really good Troughton story. You know, yeah. It shows his Doctor off beautifully. The Invasion, which also exists, shows his Doctor off magnificently. It's a great, great story.
Yeah, which actually is the next episode, right?
Actually. Yeah, I think it is, actually, yeah. And Tomb of the Cybermen is very, very good.
I love Tomb of the Cybermen. That's a good one, too. So, but Jamie is particularly very Jamie-esque in this also.
Particularly very
Jamie. Well, you know, like I said, with the Doctor, with Patrick Troughton's portrayal of the Doctor, Fraser Hines, Jamie McCrimmon is very, very Jamie. He's very. It's like you don't need to know any more else about Jamie to sort of get Jamie and say, you know what, I like that character. He looks like a fun companion. He really seems to, you know. Hey, you know what I'm talking about, right, Dale?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you noticed how very, very quickly after, hang on, Invasion. Was Invasion before or after Time Mind Robber?
Invasion's
right after Mind Robber.
No, I'm just having a quick think about Cybermen. Because if you think about Zoe, she very rarely, you know, after the Wheel in Space, she very rarely actually uses this amazing mathematical, analytical brain she's got. She just spends most of the damn series screaming like every other assistant at the time, including Jamie. And it's not until the end of the Invasion afterwards, you know, where she's actually able to calculate trajectories of missiles and cyberships, etc., that you actually see her being clever again.
Well, in Mind Robber, she's actually using her brain a bit.
She screams her bloody head off most of the time.
She's actually adding up some stuff, a lot like our Nancy. So, but not only is she using her brain,
Jamie, I'm counting up votes on Facebook to see how sexy I am. I don't remember that line, oddly.
She's also using her brawn when the amazing comic book character the Crocus? How do you pronounce
the
that?
The carcass.
The carcass comes up, and she's like, you know, oh, I recognize that character. And because she recognized that he's a make-believe character, she's able to defeat him in hand-to-hand combat.
Which is one of the funniest things.
Oh, yeah. And the Doctor makes his gun disappear because he says that's impossible.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was very, very funny.
Yeah. So, and Jamie climbing up Rapunzel's hair.
I suppose you know that hurts. Sorry. Yes.
So, yeah, lots of little fun little things in here. And Leela, would you recommend this for people who are like new to Classic Who?
Oh, yes. I absolutely loved it, and so did Kalis, and she's watched very little Classic Who.
Wow. So, as a side note, Kalis, who's her favorite Classic Doctor? Do you have any idea?
I don't.
Well, you'll have to ask her and get back to us. That would be
I'll have to ask her, because, again, she hasn't watched a lot. I know she's watched a little bit Hartnell, now she's watched this Troughton, but I don't know about the others.
She needs some Pertwee.
Everybody needs a little Pertwee.
I need some Pertwee. I've watched done.
And speaking of Pertwee, next week, or next time we get together to record.
That'll be next week.
Next week.
We'll make sure
yes, next
it.
Week. We have on
I'll
tap,
make sure it's next week.
Bum, 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 bum.
Nice one, Nancy.
We have a really good one. The Three Doctors, which is the 10th anniversary, is that right, Dale, of Doctor Who?
Yep. The 10th anniversary story for Doctor Who itself.
Yeah, so we have the amazing Mr. John Pertwee as the Doctor. And if you haven't seen John Pertwee, this is a great one to see him in. And if you're watching alone at home and you've just watched The Mind Robber, you get to see the amazing Mr. Patrick Troughton once again. And it's great. It's a great episode. I look forward to talking about it.
And the amazing and very, very ill Mr. William Hartnell telling the other two off.
Yes, that's... That is true. That is true. So the three doctors next week on the Happiness Patrol, we're going to talk about it, and Leela's going to be all excited and beside herself. Right, Leela?
Yes.
Something like that? Well, whatever.
Yes, something like that.
It's in glorious Technicolor, so you can see just how dusty the top of the TARDIS column is.
It needs a Hoover.
It needs a Hoovering. So, Doctor Who news. We've got a lot of Doctor Who news. We're going to get to some right now before Nancy has to leave, because Nancy's going to a ukulele contest. Right, Nancy?
Ukulele festival.
Well, you're going to win it, right?
A ukulele festival.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that very Happiness Patrol?
Two ukuleles and a poodle.
I was going to say, it's why Nancy and Lewis get along so well together.
Yes, yes.
Dueling banjos.
Yes. So anyway, along with our Doctor Who news, well, the biggest one as far as Nancy is concerned, little baby Olivia has been brought into the world.
Yes.
Right, Nancy? Tell us all about it.
Yes. Georgia Moffat has had a baby girl, and she had excellent taste in choosing her daughter's name.
She named it after an olive oil spread, didn't she?
No. It's a classic name. It's a Shakespearean name.
Yes, and if you did not know, Nancy's 14-year-old daughter's name is Olivia.
Yes, I knew.
And Olivia is very cool.
Yes, she is very cool.
But so, if you actually think about this from a Doctor Who perspective, she's already got the most family tree in history. Her mother is the Doctor's daughter, which makes that, which also makes her father her own grandfather, and then Davison, who is also the Doctor, her own great-grandfather.
It's very tiny-whimey.
Well, and let's not even get into the fact that her grandfather was the dish of the day, and her grandmother was Trillian.
Yeah, that's true.
So the Doctor's daughter, which is the Doctor's offspring, has just given birth to the Doctor's granddaughter, but he's also the father of it. And of course, the grandfather is also the father of it, because it's the same bloke. Jesus Christ, that girl's going to have one hell of a childhood.
So congratulations, baby Olivia. We're glad that you're here. And
congratulations. You've just crashed Hoodum.
You just crashed Hoodum. You single.
Susan.
Barely moments old, and the internet is crashing around your being. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good thing.
They didn't call her Susan.
You know what? I know that little gal is going to be some kind of looker with parents like that. And grandparents like that, too. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Kalos is like, that baby has a family where you could put their ugly genes together and she would still be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
She might develop a bit of a thing for cricket and question marks in her teens.
Everybody's all excited about the season premiere on April 23rd, Saturday, not April 23rd? I'm looking at the right 23rd. Calendar. April 23rd, you are correct. In the U.S. and the U.K., the same day Doctor Who premieres with Season 6, and we are looking forward to that because, well, heck, half of the Happiness Patrol was there for the filming of the first episode, so...
I believe Canada's also getting it day and date too.
Oh really? I wasn't sure about that date yet.
I think they are.
I'd seen something. So now BBC America and the BBC has also put out separate trailers, seasonal trailers, season premiere trailers, and there's a lot of information in that. What do you think, Dale? What's your opinion here?
I have not dissected it, literally, because the whole of Who fandom seems to have gone, right, let's go through this millisecond by millisecond.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I know.
If you look at second 37, you'll see Tennant's TARDIS. I'm like, I don't give a shit. It's a trailer. I loved it. I'm waiting for the series. I don't want to try and spoil my enjoyment of every single millisecond by overanalyzing it like Muppets.
That is correct.
Yes, I did that a couple of years ago, and I really regretted it. You know, I looked up every bit of filming footage I could find. You know, I knew way too much before season 4 happened, and you know, I think I didn't enjoy it as much. Yeah, I went out of my way to not be spoiled the last couple of years, and I think it's helped. It's a good thing.
That's good.
I
mean,
the trailer was great.
Uh-huh.
The trailer left me thinking, oh my god, that's going to be brilliant, but I didn't feel the need to go back and watch it again and again and again. Well, I did, but not closely.
Not to dissect it, just to enjoy it.
Right, just to enjoy it, because it's been a while. while since
looks is completely different and looks just as stunning, if not more so.
Yeah, yeah, so. It is pretty cool. You know, and speaking of those trailers, there was a little episode one preview, I believe, with in the Oval Office.
Yeah, which that's is the office thing.
That's the one I'm talking about, the one where the president answers the phone, and you can sort of tell what time it's supposed to be because of what president is represented on the phone.
Yes, it was Mrs. Thatcher. So, or maybe it was Nixon.
So, yes. But yeah, it was done just for those few seconds. I was like, you know what? This is going to be a damn good episode. If this has anything to do with it at all, this is going to be good. So, I'm really looking forward to it.
Look at the level of the effects in the trailer.
Yeah, I know.
Cinematically stunning.
And it looks spooky, too. It looks like it's going to be damn spooky.
Oh, God. Looks like it's going to be the scariest, whatever.
But speaking of funny... The Red Nose Day event has come and passed. And for those of you who are not familiar with Red Nose Day, Dale, why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
It's comic relief in the UK. It's been going for about 20 years now. This year was a complete record breaker. It's more money than they have ever raised on the night itself by millions of pounds. It goes to help kids in the UK and kids in Africa, lots of communities affected by HIV and blindness and, you know, malnutrition, all the rest of it. So it's an insanely worthwhile thing, and it's a telethon basically on the BBC all night, but all stars across all networks do stuff for it. It's amazing. It's the Red Nose Day thing, so you can buy your Red Noses and your Red Nose t-shirts and all the rest of it. But yes, they had two little mini episodes of Doctor Who, one called Space and one called Time.
And if you haven't seen them, go look them up on YouTube, because if you are dying, chomping at the bit for April 23rd to come, and you just can't wait, go check this out, because you're going to enjoy it thoroughly.
And all we can say to that one is, the Wibbly Weaver!
Yes. I thought you were going to say Pawn and Pawn, I say. But the other thing about Red Nose Day here is, that makes it special to us here at the Happiness Pickles, is because our very own Dale got to do something very special. Would you like to tell us about that, Dale?
What? What did I do?
For Red Nose Day.
That wasn't special. That was old job territory.
Leela, did you hear about what Dale got to do?
No.
Dale?
It's
I don't know how
gray,
I missed this, but no.
Large grey dustbin that shouts exterminate a lot. And I was back in it for the day.
It was a lot
Did
of
you
fun.
Enjoy yourself?
Oh, God. Well, I just sat there motionless for hours on end, waiting for people just to walk up to it and go, what's this thing doing here? And they'd start touching the Dalek, which wanted to look at them, and they'd scream their lungs out. And one person, you know, kind of walked up and went, oh, I don't like this very much. And he hit it. Not hard. And then it chased him right the way down the corridor with him running full pelt and the Dalek straight behind him.
Oh, that's really funny.
Exterminate, and the lift wouldn't come in time. And I had him pinned up against the wall. He's going, I'm sorry, darling, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit you. You're bloody right.
I'd donate money to see that. Heck yeah.
Oh, I would too. Yeah. I wish we had video of that. That would be awesome.
Oh, that would. Did anybody get any video of that, Dale?
Nope.
Oh, well, darn it.
I refused to let them. Mostly if they pointed a video camera at me or a camera phone, I tried to knock it out of their hands with a sink plunge. It was far too much fun to be doing things like that. But I was very impressed with work, because we raised £12,000.
Holy moly.
Wow. Nice.
That is very
nice.
Very good. Very impressed.
That's very good. So,
and said dustbin, called Dylan, who actually belongs to a friend of mine called Stu, is currently sitting about 3 feet to my right next to a large blue police box.
That's lovely.
Dylan is here.
I love the fact that you have a TARDIS and a Dalek in your little flat. I love that.
And the dog.
That's awesome.
And the dog. Yes, hey, K9. Who can forget K9? That's a good thing. So tell me, Dale.
Yes. Tell me this, Dale.
It's opening day. Yeah, I was trying very hard not to say that. So it's opening day for the Doctor Who exhibit in London, the big, expensive, brand new exhibit that's going to dwarf any exhibit that has come before it. And you were like, what? Tell me about it. You're like first in line there, right?
I was third in the queue. But
nice.
I have to say, they pulled a little switcheroony on us, and it was brilliant. There was a little kid about, what, 25th to 30th in the queue. His name was Harry. He was 5. And he was dressed as Matt Smith's doctor. And he was trying to open up all the cracks in the pavement with his sonic screwdriver. And they actually they came up to us, and nicely they asked, and they said, look, would you mind if we got Harry to open the exhibition? And we all thought it was a fantastic idea, because this 5-year-old opening Doctor Who exhibition was brilliant. So they got him and his dad up, and Harry was beside himself with joy. And they went in, and he opened the exhibition, and he met a Dalek, who screamed and had to be taken out.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh,
poor little Mai. I was about 5 years old, scared by a Dalek, and had to leave.
Do you remember, Lewis, were you at in the TARDIS room at Galley when that little girl was hiding behind the couch from the Dalek?
Yes, I was.
Oh, my gosh. She was, oh, that was hysterical.
She had the big hair. Really cute little gal.
Yeah. But yes, hid behind the sofa.
Uh-huh.
Away from the Dalek until her mom convinced her to come out. Then the Dalek yelled at her and she ran away.
Oh my God.
Well done, the Dalek.
You know, when you're tiny like that, and I mean,
absolutely.
Daleks are moving around.
Yeah, the mom went back, got her, picked her up, and as long as mom was holding her, she was okay.
Yeah.
But it was very funny.
Yeah. But no, so we all went in. I'm not going to tell you about the walkthrough experience bit because, A, you know, spoilers. We need Sam Stone to say that, really. Uh-huh. So I won't tell you too much about that bit, but there are bits of it that took my breath away, and I'm used to all this stuff. So, but the exhibition at the far end is beautiful.
So basically, it's a walkthrough.
It's a walkthrough adventure first.
Uh-huh.
That lasts half an hour.
Uh-huh.
And it is so perfectly done. And I mean perfectly done. It is worth all the entrance fee on its own.
Oh, wow.
If that was it, and then they shoved you back out on the street, I would be the happiest bunny in all of Christendom. Because it is so cleverly done. The level of technology and special effects they've put into this is... I've never seen anything like it in the UK. I should think Star Trek The Experience would have been better than it.
Now, tell me, Dale.
Go on. Go on. You know you want to say it.
Tell me this, Dale. So, this sort of thing, this is a, you know, being here in Orlando and being used to, like, just having the amazing Universal and Disney, you know, right in my doorstep.
Yeah.
I'm totally used to, like, when visitors come, we all go out to the parks, blah, 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 blah. We stand in line in the heat and we do our thing. So I'm used to these sort of things and I'm not, like, surprised by them. But in London, is there anything else like this in London or before or anything at all? Or?
Well, London is becoming, literally, for exhibitions and things, they're getting ever cleverer.
Right.
I mean, there's some horror-based ones which are, frankly, insanely clever.
Uh-huh.
You know, some of them are actually horrifically terrifying as well. There's a zombie one that you have to walk through, and that's really quite frightening. But from a science fiction point of view, it's certainly the best thing I've ever seen them do. I mean, Doctor Who exhibitions have been getting more and more technologically advanced over the last few years.
Right.
To the level where they got to the one at Earl's Court, where there was they stopped calling it the Dalek exhibit and called it a Dalek experience or a Dalek encounter,
uh-huh.
where they shut you in the room with the bloody things and the bloody things are trying to exterminate you. And literally, they're all computer controlled. They're firing real lasers across the room.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it was very impressive, but this what they've actually done with this one takes it to a whole new level.
Wow!
I mean, massively upgraded from that, and you're watching this and you're thinking, oh my God, how have you done this? And there's so much imagination and so much thought and love gone into this that you're just blown away by it.
Cool. So if you can't get over to London by November, they're actually taking it...
It's November the 30th it closes, and then in 2012 it'll open again in Cardiff.
Oh, okay. And so then it'll be permanently at Cardiff, or as long as we can expect it to be.
The good thing is, having spoken to Andrew Beach, who's like the artifacts manager...
Right.
They did actually do a lot of fighting to get lots of Classic Who in there,
mm-hmm.
into the exhibition part. And what they have got in there is beautiful. So there's all the costumes to date,
uh-huh.
all the Doctor's costumes, everything that they didn't have in store, aka Hartnell, Trout, and Pertwee costumes. They've had recreated from the original plans by Angels, the original costumiers.
Oh, nice! But, nice.
So they're fairly accurate. You know, they're not spot on.
So I would be remiss if I didn't ask on Tara's part.
It's not a real scarf.
It's not a real scarf, huh?
It's not.
Damn.
I thought. Yeah, I could tell it a mile off. I looked at it and thought, that's the one that you could buy. It's just two of them sewn together.
Really?
Lame.
Yeah. It looks pretty accurate, yeah, but...
I've seen pictures.
Most people won't notice.
I've seen pictures online, and it does look damn good. It looks real good.
It does. Absolutely.
So, you know, and I actually a friend of mine took a picture of the William Hartnell costume. That they had the first Doctor's costume,
yep.
And it looks pristine.
It's beautiful. I mean, they all look absolutely beautiful.
So I was amazed because here's the thing, and I probably speak for Tara here a little bit too by saying this. I think I would actually rather see a beaten up, originally used screen hero type sort of costume that was actually worn in rough condition than a reproduction that is pristine looking and stuff. What do you think?
They don't have them. That's the whole point.
Oh, that's the whole point.
They don't exist anymore.
Okay.
There is no Hartnell costume anymore. There is no Troughton costume anymore. Parts of the Pertwee costume have had to be remade because they don't exist.
Hmm.
So it's a great shame that they don't exist, but you know, at the end of the day, they were costumes.
Yeah, right.
They were hired out into other things. You know, they were used for other purposes. By the time you get to the Baker costume, with the exception of the scarf, it's the City of Death costume.
Okay, gotcha.
And then from there on, it's original costume. The one thing I did think was hilarious on the opening day, and Andrew Beach was getting into a rare old tizzy about it, was that the Fifth Doctor's celery hadn't turned up. So very thoughtfully, they'd put some real celery on it. And it's under spotlights, so the celery was wilting and turning slimy. And starting to stain the coat.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so by the next time I went, you know, it's all been replaced by the proper fake stuff. But yeah, so it's all in there. Tennant's costume's there. There's a Matt Smith waxwork outside the TARDIS they've used for the first half of Season 6. So, the TARDIS prop.
Wow.
It's vast. And I mean hugely vast. They've got the Five Doctors console all revamped and working again.
Oh, nice.
It's beautiful. They've actually got it all synced up to the noises as well.
Oh, very cool.
So, they've got a little corner that's a classic series control room. They've got Tennant's console room in there.
Nice.
They've got the old TARDIS, the robot dogs in there. Not an original. Andrew Beach is one again.
Oh, okay.
Saw that and went, hello, I recognise you. And then me being me went, affirmative. And I thought, hang on, yeah, don't do that in public, Dale. Last time you got locked up. It's brilliant. There's so much love and work gone into it. There's cyber heads from every era.
Wow.
One or two have had to be recreated from those. There's Dalek. There's every era of Dalek. Even up to the Teletubby ones.
Teletubby yellow, attack.
Actually, it is a Teletubby yellow Dalek.
Oh, really?
This little kid went up to his dad and said, why is that one giant and why is that one yellow and black? And quick as a flash, his dad went, that's the RAC Dalek in case the other ones break down. Like, yes, actually, that's very good and it works. There's the Sontarans. There's the K-1 robot from, well, the giant robot.
Oh, the giant robot.
That's K-1, Professor Kettlewell's robot.
Oh, yes.
That's all been completely stripped down and rebuilt.
Oh, God, I love
and refurbished,
that.
And it looks stunning.
He's, you know, that robot is funny and cheesy as it was in the episode. It's still like one of my favorite robot props of all of Doctor Who. I don't know why. I just love him.
You should literally, they've refurbished it beautifully.
Oh, cool.
and taken off years of neglect from Black Exhibition, etc. That's all been done.
I think one of the reasons that I love that robot so much is because it reminds me of classic robots like, the robot from Lost in Space and Robbie the Robot, because it sort of has that kind of clunky look to it. Yeah, clunky 50s look. So I love that. Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's a Zygon in there. I refuse to stand too close to that one. I have an inbuilt fear that it's actually going to move. So, but there's all sorts in there, and there's some beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Wow.
The walkthrough.
Once you finish the walkthrough,
you go straight into the exhibition.
Okay, so that's where all the costumes and the console rooms are.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Things like the Melka. The Melka's next to the TARDIS, because, of course, the Melka was a TARDIS.
Yes, wow.
So, that's all in there. And there's bloody great Cybermen looking at you. They've got stuff from the Christmas Carol one.
Uh-huh.
That's in there. You can see Abigail's cryogenic chamber. She wasn't in it, thankfully. there's a Dalek you can have a go in and do the voice.
Oh, nice.
Waggle its arms around and look like a complete pillock. There's bits on behind the scenes. There's bits on how they made the theme tune and the sound effects. There's all sorts of stuff.
So is there a little bit on Delia?
Yes, there is. Yes. Delia does get a nice little mention. Aww. In fact, you can actually listen to snippets of Golden Sands and, what is it? Blue Veils and Golden Sands. They've got snippets of that as well.
Oh, nice. That's great. I'm glad. That makes me happy.
They've got Kazran's weather control station from Christmas Carol.
Uh-huh.
All set up.
God, I'm ready to go.
Let's go now.
Not weather anymore. However, on the plus side, it does pick up Freeview. That's right. You can get Channel 5. It's brilliant. And then the shop, which of course is insanely expensive for all the stuff, they've actually set it out like the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
So the control, the till you pay at, is built around the TARDIS console, which they have built an extra one of.
That's funny.
Simplified, but it looks the part, and it's absolutely beautiful and stunning and well worth a visit.
Now tell me this, at the shop, is it all new Who, or is there any classic Who stuff?
Oh no, there's quite a bit of classic Who stuff.
Oh great, cool.
You can buy old Who mugs and old Who pencil cases and all the rest of it.
Yay.
That's awesome.
Then you can buy standees of Matt Smith.
Ah, there you go, Leela.
Which I did.
Nice.
I have to say, I came home and thought, right, Matt Smith is now standing in the TARDIS doorway. This is fun. It's great, great fun. They say allow at least 90 minutes. I was there for 3.5 hours.
I believe it.
I still wasn't sick of it.
Oh, wow.
But the one thing that really did annoy me, and I have to say it annoyed me a great deal, is 20 minutes after I left, Matt Smith turned up.
Oh.
on the first day, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
wow.
I keep missing that man. He was in Brighton a couple of months ago. I missed him by 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
I missed him by 20 minutes at Doctor Who. So I will get to meet him one day.
So thanks everybody for this particular episode. Tuning in once again for this particular episode of the Happiness Patrol. We're very glad you can make it, and we're especially glad that Dale W. could come back and make a special appearance. Dale?
Who?
Thank you. Who? Yeah, that's right. So if you can't get enough happiness in your life, make sure to visit our blog spot. Leela?
You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com. Search us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
And you can always
update it.
Yeah, whenever we
update it.
Somebody gets around to opening the deck.
I'm going to get around. All I want for Christmas is to get around to it. And if you got one that you can email me, you can send it to the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. And that'll be cool. We will see you guys again next week on the Happiness Patrol. We're going to be talking about not Stones of Blood, but the Three Doctors. So stay tuned for that, and we'll have more news and stuff for you. And hopefully we'll have Miss Tara back. We miss you, Miss Tara. Get well soon, and we need you back here and be happy, okay? She's not going to say anything because she's not here. So, until next
week. Very true, Lewis. Well done.
Until next week, I'm Lewis B.
I'm Leela S.
I'm Nancy A.
And I'm just a special guest.
We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Very special indeed.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye. You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol. We hope you enjoyed your stay. Come again soon. Thanks for calling. Goodbye now.
Yeah, I could be asking Tara about that. That might be worthwhile. Well, you know, that's a good idea, Canine. I think you're really onto something there.
Affirmative.
Master. What's that, Canine?
Master left 3 months ago.
Oh yes, yeah, he's doing good. I hope.
Affirmative.
Oh, that's
in
nice.
That time, Master, there has been one edition of the Happiness Patrol. Explain.
Oh well. Canine, you know how it is with humans. Canine, everybody's got a little bit of something to do here and there. You know, somebody's got like
to be not plural.
Oh,
one.
Oh, well, you know, we're just taking a break and trying to relax a little bit. It's springtime. Come on, Canine.
This is meant to be a weekly podcast. It's not.
Well, yeah, that is true, Canine.
Affirmative. Advice. Master.
Yes, Canine?
Make it weekly or my master will return, and you know what he's like.
Yeah.
He is never in a good mood.
Well, you know, it is interesting, Canine, because...
Weekly, master.
Oh, weekly. You know, why do I even try to argue with a tin dog?
Weekly, master.
All right, Canine, we'll go weekly. We'll go weekly. So weekly it is. Canine, you've twisted my arm. So from now on, the Happiness Patrol is back, Canine.
Most satisfactory, Master.
Thank you, Canine. You know, sometimes I need a little kick in the ass by a tin dog every now and then.
I am not made of tin, and I'm still the...